Well, hello there.
Hey, hey, hey.
Larry, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well.
You're doing.
In Jesus, we're perfect in every way.
Seated at the right hand.
We're perfected by the fire.
Seated at the right hand of the Father, eh?
Yeah. No better place. No better place.
Yeah. Well, and we're missing our dear friend Mark Jide this week. Mark is in Poland doing a school there, and I've been in touch with him every day, and just I don't know if he will be sneaking in, but if you're watching, Mark, big hi from us, and just hearing that a lot of hearts are being touched in Poland this week.
Beautiful.
So it's amazing. Then so Larry and I are kind of left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, what pieces there are to put the puzzle together. Oh, Dad, help.
Yeah. But it's always great, and we're just looking forward to where we're going to know tonight. And to be honest, we don't know.
Empty-headed and on time.
On time. Yeah. Larry and I were talking, and even just the idea of the title, because I had to put something on the title above us, and I just put it Going with the Flow. I think that's a safe.
It is.
It's a safe title. That's what we're trusting in. Mm-hmm. So what's swirling in you in this moment? Anything that's
it's hard to pinpoint some of the stuff, but I guess I guess a lot of it is just part of the process, the prophetic process of following the flow, following and going with the flow. The process is so different than probably I was told 30 years ago or whatever. I mean, because you're in one place for a long time, and then all of a sudden you're not, and it's, you know, God hasn't changed, but the landscape has changed, and the mode of operation has changed, and what remains? Well, you gotta, in a sense, for me, sink down into what is remaining, and it's Him. It's He that is in us is the only sustainable remaining reality, because the landscape changes, and the opinions in the church are changing, and there's a whole lot of flux going on. There's a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of opinion, a whole lot of action, and some of it's good, and some of it's God, and some of it's not. Some of it's kind of like and learning to continue to draw from that which changes not. And that's Christ in me, the hope of glory, and the authenticity of Him. Not even, I guess where I'm at on some of it is, at this point, is I don't want to be built up in my soul. I want Christ to be built up in me. If Christ is built up in me, then obviously I'm entwined with Him, and, you know, behold the glory of the Lord, not the glory of Larry and his ministry, not the glory of my good idea, my good opinion, my one-upmanship, even in the prophetic or whatever, who's got the deepest, hottest revelation or whatever. I know that never happens in the kingdom, but I'm just, you know, being facetious. But it's like, in a sense, getting back to the basic, getting back to what's real, is beholding the glory of the indwelling power and reality of Christ. And the Bible says that I'm wrapped up in Him, that I'm joined to the Lord, and I'm one spirit with Him. Therefore, I always joke about this, and you probably heard me say this. If I could just get me off of my mind, then a lot of stuff might cease, in a sense, of that's not necessary, that's not beneficial, that's not. So it's, you know, what's swirling is, may the authentic reality of Christ in us arise and shine, and the perfection of his righteousness, the perfection of his love, the perfection of he who is greater. And I'm wrapped up in that. We're wrapped up in that, but it's not necessarily about us. It's got to be about he who is in us. And I think that there's a lot of focus being fixed right now, at least it is for me. I think that it's like, you know, fix your gaze. Well, I think I've even said this prophetically. It's like he's coming to fix our gaze and readjust the gaze. Like, what are we gazing on? Are we gazing on my destiny? Are we gazing on, you know, the seven principles of how to fulfill your prophetic call? Or, you know, and I'm not trying to diss anything. I'm just like, those things for me over the years, there's just been no oil on it. You know, talking about going with the flow, it's like, okay, where is the oil flowing? And it might be flowing for people like that. Maybe they need that kind of stuff that facilitates them to awake to what the Father's purpose is in them. But if there isn't oil on it, and if I'm just busy doing the work, am I doing the work of the flesh, or am I doing the work of faith? What's the work of faith versus the work of the flesh?
Yeah.
And the flesh is my effort trying to get in, my effort trying to attain, my effort trying to whatever. And it's like, but what about the effort of faith? You know, when I've said this before, remember when I had the lovely battle last year with COVID and all that stuff? The biggest thing that hit me was he's full of faith in me, the faith of God in me. And it sounds really good, but I'm still trying to dive into that of, am I fully aware of his fullness of faith even working in me?
Wow.
And how does that measure? How do I measure it? How do I know when it's his faith and not my effort and my work of the flesh, my trying versus, and faith is synonymous to rest, like in Hebrews 4, enter the rest is connected to believing. And so what's he believing about his bride today? What's he believing about what he's building in the body right at the moment? And probably a long drawn out answer to what's swirling in me, but that's kind of where I go at times, thinking about things, pondering, being contemplative in the goodness of God. And it just struck me a while back, it's like, I know that the Bible says I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but that I am is the new me, the authentic me, wrapped up in the perfections of Christ, the glories of Christ that are perfect. So I don't need to try and get perfect. I just need to allow the expression of his perfections, of his flows to be revealed. And that means, you know, in some sense, it's like me being little enough in my own effort, in my perception of me wrapped up in he. It's, you know, it's no longer my great effort and my great education, nothing wrong with that stuff on some level, as long as it's submitted to the Spirit. But it's what does Christ want to be? What does Christ want to manifest as you, with you, partnering with you? What does love himself want to be reflected through us and to who.
Yeah. But you see that one comment says the work of the flesh will eventually fail and will bring exhaustion.
Yeah.
When the Lord leads, we only follow in his footsteps in obedience. He does it all.
Yeah. I mean, follow as children, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's Ephesians 5:1 says, imitate God as dearly loved children.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Just walk, just follow him. Just be his little kids, right? And verse 2 says, and live a life of love. You know, as Christ lived that life. And when we talk about that, I think of Galatians 2:20. And Paul's saying, no longer I that lives.
I
don't live. Barry doesn't live. Larry doesn't live anymore. Have we, what would life look like if we came into this revelation of such union?
Probably a whole lot different. Because the essence of our life now, I love it in the Passion Translation. If you check it out in the Passion Translation, it's amazing. The essence of this life is now his.
Yes.
And not mine. And it's like, okay, do I submit to that? Or does my ego, does my opinion and my need to whatever get in that way, that it's the essence of life now in me is Christ. And maybe even, just again, riding in the Rambler here. What if that's why we're interdependent? Because it's like when we're accountable to one another, I don't like that word, but I do, relationship with you, it's like, okay, can we be accountable to one another in relationship that feels like Christ, what you're saying. It isn't Barry saying that. It's actually the Spirit of Christ in the form of Barry Adams. It's the Spirit of Christ oozing his light, oozing his compassion, like he did with you in Finland and stuff. It's like, that was Christ. That wasn't Barry trying to work up compassion and having it. It was like, that was the beauty of the compassion of Christ himself.
Yeah.
Bearing witness of what he was doing corporately, and that's where we're to remain. And it says not in always ministry mode, but in abiding mode, in life mode, that Christ can be whatever he desires to be, and being able to help, in a sense, iron sharpening iron, building that in each other as the body, so we're no longer floundering around with all this activity that doesn't reflect the stature of Christ himself, but the stature of something about Christ, but it actually might not be sourced of him. It might be my good idea of Christ. And what my idea of what Christ might be saying is kind of like, and this might step on a few toes, but I think years and years ago it was like imitation of Christ. Like, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus, you're in me. What do you want to do? Jesus in me, what do you want to be? I don't want to imitate him in a sense. I want him to be fully reflected. In every aspect of his nature. And isn't that what the Father's purpose is? He's conforming us into the image and likeness so that we are so one with the Son that wherever we run, it's him and me, it's we and he, that's affecting the earth, impacting the earth, whether it's online, whether it's in church, whether it's wherever, can we spur one another on to be a reflection You know, beholding is in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we reflect, you know, we're reflectors, but we're not separate from that. It's just we I'm not that light, but I reflect him.
Right. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. You say yes and amen, Father.
Yeah.
Yes and amen to that transformation process from one degree of glory to the next. I'm just going to read Galatians 2:20 from the Passion.
Yeah.
It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine.
Sure unpacks it. Why I love the Passion is that it just awakens the heart of the matter on some levels, and it's so rich for me that the essence of this life is no longer mine. What's that mean? What's that look like if I'm fully yielded to and accepting and yielded to that the essence of this Christ life is no longer mine? And I'm fully aware of that, and I'm fully married to that reality, and God awaken in us that reality so that it's the life of peace, the life of rest. Maybe he isn't as I think it'd just be a whole lot different. That's what I see. I want to be kind to everything, but it's just speaking personally, I think that my life would be completely on a different realm and a different function when that fully awakens. And I think that we're in that process of fully awakening to realizing that the essence of this life isn't Larry anymore. But it's Christ entwined with Larry. I've said this before, but when Paul Cox said to me when he was preaching in Wisconsin about sonship and everything else, and it was here's Larry Pearson from Niagara on the Lake. He says he's a Ben Elohim. He's an offspring of Elohim in the form of Larry Pearson. So there's a reality that of us that's entwined with Christ in Elohim, in God, in love, that I think the Father really wants to wake up in the whole body. Can you imagine like a couple of billion people fully reflecting their authenticity of being entwined with love himself?
Wow. There's just a question that Manal has posted. She just said, how can we live the truth of Christ in me when we are making mistakes and sinning? And then she just said, there's a struggle. And of course, I think, we all can identify with that, right? Where it's kind of like welcome to the human race.
It's not living in denial, but I love what Bill Johnson says, like, not denying that sickness or sin isn't there. It's just denying it to reign in me. Denying that distortion of identity to reign in me. And the more that Christ is oozing out of me, the less I'm going to want to sin, the less I'm going to be in the prison of sin. That's how I see it. And it's like, and yes, it doesn't mean that we don't ever go for prayer ministry, it doesn't mean that we don't ever get, mm-hmm. Stuff dealt with. I mean, that's the whole sanctification process. I fully believe that. But in the process of that, what is the goal of the Father is to make you and conform you into that reflection, that stature of love, where our weakness is swallowed up in the perfected power to not sin, in the perfected power to love, in the perfected power to have compassion on ourselves, and not maybe have maybe wrong expectations of myself. Do I put myself in a performance treadmill but Dad just wants me to believe what he believes, and sin will not have dominion over us. Doesn't mean sin doesn't exist. Doesn't mean that it's not there. But to me, there has to be that triumphant place. Am I there? Good God, no. Ask my wife. Ask Barry. He knows. But there's a goal in line, right? There's a goal that the Father has. There's what he sees of us, he wants to make real in us, and that's fully reflecting that triumphant union, that triumphant life, and flowing in that and abiding and remaining, remain in me, remain in my love, ask what you will. Mm-hmm. My words abide in you. So yeah, I don't think that I'm ever going to, in some level, and I don't mean sin, but I don't want to ever get to the point where I'm so puffed up that I don't recognize my weakness.
Right.
Because that's just, again, self-effort. Say, I'm okay. It's the rest of you that's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Which, not good to be. not good to be in that state.
And I think, honestly, to kind of speaking to that same, question, the conundrum, perhaps, that we all face, that kind of that struggle within our being, I kind of think of it when Paul described that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And some translations say in jars of clay, broken pots, that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of us. And it's not like Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid, we don't. It's not like we sin to bring, grace to a higher place.
But yet,
in the midst of the humanity that we're clothed in, we live with this struggle. And I appreciate Donna saying, quoting from Lamentations, his mercies are new every morning. And of course, I don't know about you, but my hands raised here really high. I need mercy every day.
Every minute, every hour.
And so when we're able to, I think, be able to see how merciful God is towards us, and that we are able to receive that mercy, to believe that mercy is for us, and then we are able to extend that same mercy to those around us, right? Mm-hmm. And be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And I think that the idea of that humanity, like, I know for me, because of being a bit of a performance junkie all my life and thinking that love, you got some sense of affirmation or love by performance, still all these years later, the revelation, the substance, the most tangible sense of God's love that I seem to experience is when I feel like I least deserve it.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's not like I want to put myself in that position. Oh, let me experience that again.
Yeah.
But it just seems to undo things,
Yeah. Yeah. It's a part of the process and the package. And it's like, And I think that it's thinking philosophical. Did Paul ever get delivered of that thorn, whatever that theological thorn in the flesh was? God said, don't worry about it, dude. My paraphrase, don't worry about it, dude. My grace, my all-sufficient grace is perfected in your weakness. Yeah. So it didn't say he was going to deliver from the weakness. No. So he might have carried that weakness. We might carry our weakness, but that weakness keeps me dependent on the all-sufficient grace and truth that Jesus is in me. If I'm no longer weak, then I'm going to start thinking I'm bigger than I actually am. I'm going to start to think that I can create anything and all that kind of thing. And it's like, but I just want to be able to live a life where he can be big. Like, and that's why I love how you champion just being little with a big dad, like from Jack Winter. It's like that so is a safe place, because I'm not going to, do I, and it's not groveling in I'm a worm. It's a case of I'm a little boy with a big dad. I love that, because I want dad to be so famous. I want Jesus to be exceedingly famous, and that's the whole plot to the movie. And what if we never get free from our weakness? And I'm not talking, when I say weakness, I'm not talking about immorality or sin or gross sin or stuff. I'm just, when we're aware of our humanity, I think we are so close to revival, so close to awakening, so close to Christ being able to be revealed, because he gives grace to the humble, not to the high-minded, superior, sophisticated Christians. Like, I got it all together. Well, you better learn to duck, because who amongst us, just being real, who amongst us can say that they've arrived? None of us. And that's the kind of koinonia, that's the kind of community, that's the kind of people I can trust when I know they're not so high-minded that, because if they were super high-minded, why would they even want me around, right? But thank God, Father's not like that. Jesus isn't like that. He's meek. He's lowly. He's lowly of heart. And it's like, okay, then he's trustworthy. And
but that, it's the safest place to be when when you read 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26 to 29, where Paul says that God has chosen the foolish things of this world. He's chosen the weak things of this world. He's chosen the poor things of this world to confound the opposites, right? And and if we're all always trying to, leap tall buildings at a single bound, trying to be, win the gold medal of whatever race we're running, trying to, be the top dog. I mean, it is so exhausting. And it's never enough.
You'll never come to a place of destination and satisfaction. Satisfaction will not be guaranteed in that. Because it's like, and I don't know who coined this, but it's the absolute truth. Whatever's been born of the flesh has to be maintained by the flesh.
Right.
So I don't, not out of paranoia or whatever, but Dad, I only want to be in the flow of what you initiate by your spirit in me. Because then I can't take the credit, and I'm okay. I'm learning to be okay with not having to need the credit and need the recognition. I'm learning how to desire that God would be the famous one. That just doesn't come with somebody just laying on a hands in a revival meeting. It hasn't worked for me, and I've had thousands of hands laid on me, and yet I'm still in process, bro. I've had tons and tons and tons of impartation, which I thank God for every drop. But that doesn't, people can't lay hands on you and boom, you've got perfection of character that comes through the fire, that comes through the wilderness, that comes through the trials and the tribulations of what will I believe. And you know, there's purpose in it all. But yeah,
well, it's like Paul saying to the Corinthians, I didn't come with any, you know, demonstration of like what, you know, wisdom, but I came in weakness.
And not eloquence, but power produced, I believe, through the conduit of character.
Right.
You know, because what did he do for all those years in the wilderness, you know, in the desert? You know, what was it, 13 years in the desert? Yeah. 3 years he wasn't accepted by everybody or whatever. Can't remember all the his, but there was process going on.
Yeah.
He was a Benjamin of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. That just doesn't flip with one encounter like he did on the road to Damascus. That produced a path of process. And I can't run from the process. As much as I would love to, as much as I, you know, run after meetings or whatever, it's still, I might be able to quiet down the process a little bit. But eventually I have to sit with myself, with the Lord, and recognize he's working on me. He's shifting me. He's awakening me to the new life that he's given me, the new reality, Christ's essence in me, my life. You know, back to, I think I've said this before, but you know, when I hear a teacher saying that you are the righteousness of God, and he's explaining it as the righteousness as life as it should be with God. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. He said, but on the core sense of self, if that's a real aspect in your life, you're going to feel like I am as I should be. And when he said that, something sprung up in me. It's like, but Larry has always felt that there's something wrong with him. I've always felt that there was something wrong. And I recognized that in that time, the revelation that the Spirit was coming and showing me that maybe I hadn't fully received the gift of the new life in the core sense of me. Because I fell into the treadmill of trying to fix that feeling of not feeling like I am as I should be. And it's again, not by works, not by my effort, but by the gift of the new life, by the gift of Christ in us, you are as you should be. And I think back to, you know, what do we do in our humanity? It's like, well, fix your gaze on whose righteousness you're wearing. It's not your own. It's a gift from God. I am as I should be by gift, by birth, by new birth, not by Larry's good effort in the prophetic or church service or giving or all that stuff. It's like it's been a gift. Like what Graham Cook says, we start out in the Christian life with an A plus, and now we have to do our best to steward it. And I, you know, and on some level, I don't think I was really taught that at the beginning of my walk. Decades ago.
But again, it's kind of like, you know, the whole dynamic of the Christian life is being a new birth, right? Jesus said, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, it's flesh gives birth to flesh, Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And I've always thought it was interesting how, you know, we all, you know, certainly from an evangelical perspective, we believe in a new birth. It's like, for some reason, like this, the Bible doesn't say all of a sudden we're to become adults again overnight, but it's like you come into the kingdom as little babes, and then it's just like all this pressure is thrown on your shoulders about, you know, doing your part, and you know, and then all of a sudden you're carrying all these weights. And I believe that, again, it's not childishness, but it's childlikeness. That is, little kids are weak, little kids are dependent, little kids are innocent. And I think that's, again, that's, as you know, Larry, you and I have talked about it. I feel that the kingdom is so big that the adult intellect cannot grasp it. We can't process it.
Yeah.
The little kid, when there's no safety guardrails up yet, where they believe that they're, you know, fairy tales and damsels in distress and rocket ships and faraway kingdoms, there's no guardrails. And I believe the Father wants to get rid of those guardrails. Wow.
Something on that. There's the flow. There's oil on that. So, Lord, no guardrails. No self-protection. No self-righteous trying to maintain or trying to attain or trying anything, Lord. We just thank you for the gift of the new birth. Thank you that you've put your very life, your very nature, your very essence, your very fullness in us by the new birth to discover in ourselves and in each other, in our fellowships, in our koinonia, in our walk together. We're on an exploration and a journey. And we're, help us, Holy Spirit, to not buy into anything that is telling us to learn how to grow up and become sophisticated. It's good to study, it's good to learn, but may the redeemed innocence of what we are be the main thing.
Father, we just ask that you would tell us who we are again by your Spirit. And Father, would all the false identities, all the assumptions that we have made, that you've never asked us, you know, things that we thought we were required to do, thought that we should do, Father, I just pray by your Spirit that there would just be a beautiful returning, deep calling to deep, to the simplicity of being your little ones. And in that place that there's this eternal, immeasurable, infinite expanse, no guardrails. Just living in love, having nothing to prove. I just feel that that's such a burden that so many of us carry, that we feel we have something to prove, something to defend all the time. And it's exhausting.
Something to prove, Lord. We ask for forgiveness where that's operating in any way that we still feel like we've got something to prove. That we could return to that simplicity, that we could return to the gift of faith and grace and live yoked to the faith and the grace, power and presence of Christ in us. Against these things there is no law. The beautiful fruit of love himself. The limitlessness of peace, the limitlessness of your faithfulness, your joy, your gentleness. Limitless, no boundaries, no guardrails, because oh, that we could be graced to reflect what love really is. And that's you, Dad. Just such a deep Whoa, a deep river.
Mm-hmm.
Your presence, Lord, I acknowledge the deep river that would flow over every heart and come in and even facilitate transformation. That if anything's been convincing anyone to become sophisticated and mm-hmm. and more of an adult in a cultural way,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a childlike, yielded son or daughter to love himself. Lord, I'm asking that just that deep presence would just hug every heart,
mm-hmm.
hug every mind, hug every thing that they are. I bless the presence to just hug you,
mm-hmm.
to just come upon and just saturate and remove those guardrails, those things that for whatever reason are there,
mm-hmm.
but Lord, loose a transformational grace, mm-hmm. an enabling presence and power of the Spirit of Christ. Whoa. Whoa.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless all that you're doing, all that you desire to awaken in the simplicity of being a redeemed, innocent child, a redeemed, innocent offspring of love, deeply loved, deeply embraced, total acceptance and passion. Mm-hmm. Again, translates the spirit of adoption as total acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
May total acceptance hug every core sense of being. Your core sense of being would be hugged with total acceptance. That's the spirit of sonship is that you're in.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo. You're in by birth. You're in
wow.
by gift. Woo.
Can't unring that bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Once a
wow.
son, always a son.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
Woo. Wow.
I just think of, again, in the Passion, Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says, and so that we would know that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, my Father, my true Father.
Wow.
Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters.
Mm.
And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has.
Wow.
For we are heirs because of what God has done.
Because of what God has done.
Yeah.
It's the kindness of God that changes our thinking, that changes our view.
Yeah.
And brings us into the family, brings us into the reign of love, the reign of grace by what God has done.
Amen.
The absolute opposite to any kind of religious effort or any kind of misguided devotion to something that Father never intended.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come to bring a Christian religion. He came to awaken a family.
Yeah, oh, something on that.
Whoa.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh. Yeah.
Came to awaken the family. You belong. The homecoming, eh? That homecoming queen, that homecoming queen, king and queen, fully accepted.
Yeah.
Awakening a family all over the earth.
Whoa.
Lord, continue to awaken your sleeping beauties. Awaken your princes and princesses. Awake, 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 O sleeper, awake, and be clothed with Christ. Be clothed with the family inheritance. Be clothed. Come out of any pig pen. Come out of any imprisonment of you're not good enough, or you're never going to measure up, or you're a mistake. Come out of those ideas and opinions and awake to what the authentic spirit of truth is saying, that you are His and you do not belong to anyone else. Woo. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Wow.
You know, just a thought, but going with the flow takes a whole lot more of a posture of waiting. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's just, there's just less busyness than what maybe has been portrayed. It's like, will I wait for His voice? Will I wait for His leading? Will I wait for the flow? And when the flow hits, like what you said, different things, and I said, it's like, okay, if there's oil on it, embrace it, engage it. It's kind of like a dream. If you get a dream, if the Holy Spirit sees that you're paying attention and you're giving honor to the spirit of revelation in your dreams, you're acknowledging it, He'll give you more. And it's the same. It's like, okay, going with the flow. It's like, boy, there was something on that. Then, Dad, bring in more understanding. What else do you want? You initiated conversation of awakening the family.
Yeah.
Here we are. Keep speaking. Keep dripping the revelation. Keep dripping wisdom. We welcome you to build the awakening of a family in all of our lives and in all of, like, what else do you want to have us know about that you're waking up the family?
Wow.
Deep presence, my goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor your waves of grace, 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 your waves of empowerment, life, peace. Life and peace belongs to those that have been awakened, that have been fixing their gaze on the spirit and not the flesh.
Again, from Ephesians 3, from the Passion, verse 14. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power.
Yes, and amen, and amen. I double dog dare you to read that again and see if we can get through it.
Wow, isn't that something?
Wow. Choo, choo, choo. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
The perfect Father.
Wow.
Hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Hey.
Holy.
So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and in on earth. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power.
Wow. Ah, Jesus, have mercy. Yes, God, we ask that, you would multiply that scripture. There would just be a multiplication of revelation and power into the hearts and minds of your beloved. Whoa. The divine might and explosive power from the Father of glory, from the Father of creation, will unfold, unveil, unfold, unveil.
Yeah, Dad.
Blessed Spirit. Wow. Wow. Yahoo Karababanta. Oi, oi, oi.
Oh. Yeah.
Let us know in the chat, because I hope we're not the only ones just getting wrecked here. We want to share the feast. We want to loose the feast of Dad's goodness, of Dad's revelatory divine might, explosive power into your core sense of you that is true, the redeemed, innocent you, the divine might and explosive power of love Himself. Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. There's a river of substance flowing. Let it grow, Dad. Let it grow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Keep breathing. Just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Ooh. The Ruach Thank of God. The yeah. breath of God. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Holy. Another wave, Dad.
Yeah.
Another wave. Marinate your kids.
Yeah, Dad.
Whoa. Marinate them. Saturate them. Shoo. Wow.
Wow.
My.
Wow. Yeah, Father, open our eyes so that we could see the truth of who we really are in your sight. We're not servants, we're not slaves, we're not orphans. We are children of Yahweh.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Co-heirs. Whoa. Seated at the right hand of the Father.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you,
Dad. Thank you, Papa.
Yaba. Kuyaraba. Kiss every realm of our heart awake, Dad.
Yes, Dad.
Blessed Spirit. Wow. fully alive, fully awake, fully loved, fully accepted. Whoa, Jesus.
Whoa.
We honor the thickness of your appearing. Wow. Bless what you're doing, Dad. Bless who you are as you're appearing to hearts, lives, families, your family, awakening your family to your presence, awakening the rest of your story.
Yeah.
Coming out of your fullness of faith. With you are the faithful one. You are the one that is full of faith toward every single heart, toward every single son and daughter. Lord, we acknowledge your explosive, powerful faith that raises the dead.
Ha.
Hush ke te pohoya. Oh.
Woo-hoo.
That explosive power that raises anything dead in me that needs to come alive. Come alive in your bride. Come alive by the resurrection and the life, your substance. Unleash upon them. Visit them. Hug them. Encounter every heart. Because that's what you love to do. Shoo. Your explosive power, your divine might that raised Jesus from the dead, that raised these sleeping beauties from the dead, that raised these sons into newness of life, a life that isn't no longer just earthy, but is united with Elohim, that is united with love himself. Lord, I bless torrents of explosive power to come upon and remain. Come upon and remain. All of the hungry, all of the thirsty, come and feast. Come and buy everything that Jesus paid for. Dude. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Suddenly he comes to his temple. He appears. Bless what you're doing, Lord.
Yeah, Dad.
Wow, dude. How do you exit out of this?
I don't know. I think we just go on forever.
Yeah, come on. Let's just remain.
Wow.
And that seed of beauty, that seed of innocence, that seed of celebration of what love is and has done and is doing.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrate what you're doing.
Yeah, Dad.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, Father. Wow, Papa, we just pray a blessing on everybody who's just been with us live, and we pray a blessing on everyone who will listen afterwards.
Yes, Father.
Father, we just want to step into our new identity. I just think and step out of those grave clothes.
Yeah, come on.
Step out of the grave clothes, guys, and step into our new identity, our new creation reality, you in absolute union with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Whoa. Thank you, Father.
Wow, yeah.
Whoa.
My. He really likes to hang out with us, dude. I love it. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Yes. Well, thank you, everybody. I guess we, can you just talk just for a second about maybe if there's anybody new on that, where they can connect with you and Jacqueline?
Yeah, sure. If I can talk. just check us out at theflow.rocks is our new website. That's got all of these, all of our past flows that we do with Barry and different ones, but theflow.rocks or linesword solutions.ca. or you can find me on Facebook. I think I got a little bit of room for a couple more friends, but we're there. You can also, I think it's, oh, what's the site on YouTube? I can't remember. But it's all there. You'll see it on the flow.rocks. We've got a YouTube channel that's growing a little bit and everything. So, yeah, come on over. Yeah, feast on what the Lord's releasing. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Love hanging out with Barry and Ann.
Oh, yeah.
Love. As you probably maybe can't tell, but Jacqueline and I, we absolutely adore and live for the presence of the Lord. There is absolutely everything in the presence of the Lord, and everything springs forth out of the deep of the presence of the Lord. And that's what He's wired us to do and reflect when we can. And it's an honor to be in the kingdom. It's an honor to go through everything that He's opening up. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. I guess on that, keep on flowing, guys. Keep going with the flow, and we'll go with the flow. One thing I should mention just before we sign off, for those who are not in Europe, next week, we're having our time change, but Europe isn't. So Europe will stay the same as far as the next week being 8 o'clock UK time. But for North Americans and beyond, it will be 4 p.m. instead of 3 p.m. just for a couple of weeks. So that's just a reminder. I won't be here. I'll be at the School of Ministry in Toronto, but Mark will be back. So, all right. Bless you guys. Thanks for coming, Larry. As always, it's just a...
Oh, so rich. Thanks, man. Really, really appreciate it.
All right. See you guys.
Blessings.